Blog Talk Radio.
Rejoice and be glad in it. Thankful, grateful, and truly blessed to be with you this morning as we move forward in the Word of God. And all I can say is it's a good word. Hallelujah. We are in the New Testament this morning, getting our word from last week and up to this week where we were unable to move forward on Sunday due to my very busy schedule in the house of God. And the word that God gave me this morning is the harvest is truly great, but the laborers are few. The harvest is truly great, but the laborers are few. So many times we go to work and we feel like we're doing our job and somebody else's job too. And because there's a lot of work to do. There's a lot of work to do in the kingdom of God that sometimes we neglect the work we need to do in our homes. But God is saying, I will give you what you need. God is going to give us what we need. I'm believing and I'm trusting in God. You know how you have those issues in life that you just got to deal with. You know, it's gotten hot where I live, and my air conditioner has gone out. So I have two furnaces and central air, and the central air on one end is not working like it needs to. But it's working on the other end. So what do? You get up, you go to the side where it's cool and keep it moving. That's how we need to learn how to do things. We got to keep it moving because God will always give you what you need. It might not be where you want it to be, but it's what you need. So we're going to go today to our word and we're going to thank God. This morning I'm starting prayer for my 365 days of prayer. And just lifting up the name of Jesus this morning. And the word that God has given me is willingly submit. Willingly submission. Obey your leaders and act under their authority. They are watching over you because they are responsible for your souls. Obey them so that they will do this work with joy, not sadness. It will not help you to make their work hard. Hebrews 13:17 NCV. And we're going to go actually to King James for that word, for that prayer. Actually for the word, and then we'll go into the prayer. So join me in Hebrews. Chapter 13, verse 17. And it says, obey them that have the rule over you, and submit yourselves, for stay watch for your souls as they that must give account, that they may do it with joy and not with grief. But that is unprofitable for you. And I'm just going to go over to verse 18. But we trust we have a good conscience in all things, willing to live honestly. But I beseech you, rather you do this, that I may be restored to you the sooner. And that was, of course, Paul writing. And Paul, you know, he wrote some beautiful, 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 beautiful letters. He wrote them to the Corinthians. He wrote them to everybody because Paul was trying his best to save souls. And this Bible study is for salvation, that for those who want to do what they need to do. And this epistle, this Hebrews, was an epistle to the Hebrews. Paul wrote to the Corinthians. Paul wrote to everybody. But Paul wants us to know that God wants us to obey. He wants us to do what we're supposed to do. You know, if your pastor asks you to do something that you know is for God, just do it. Well, I don't know if I'm coming to church on Sunday. And, well, I really don't like to get up there and pray. You know, just do it. When you're asked to do something, just do it. It's for God. It's for his kingdom. Willingly submit to whatever it is God needs you to do. And the word that God gave for this prayer this morning is, great God, fill me anew today with the fresh wind of your grace, blowing away all the dust of days before you speak, and my heart takes courage. I intentionally lay my heart open before you. Fill me with the knowledge of your goodness and great care. Draw me near to you that I may take courage in being found in you. Help me to serve the leaders in my life with a humble heart, submitting to them even when I disagree with their decisions. Give me grace to remember that when I lead, I do the best I can, and my leaders are doing the same. I willingly submit myself not only to your leadership, but to theirs as well, knowing nothing goes unseen by you. Everything done in love is not wasted, and I choose love over my own preferences. Thank you for your grace that covers me. Thanking God for his grace that covers me to lead you in what you need to do. And as we pray, continue our prayer, Lord God, we ask you to increase as we decrease, Father. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your holy and divine sight, Lord God. For you are my strength and you are my redeemer. I cannot do anything, Lord God, without you. I lift up this word and I give myself away to work in your harvest, God. Use me as my leader, God. Use me for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Thanking God for all of you this morning as we move forward in the word of God. God's word is true, and it's just for me, and it's just for you. God does not make mistakes. The harvest is truly great, but the labors are few. Are you ready to go to work? Are you ready to go to work for God? That's all he's needing. He's needing us to go to work. He's needing us to move forward. He's needing us to go where he calls us to go and to do what he has called us to do. God loves us, and he loves us with a great heart. He loves us with a great mind. He loves us more than we could ever think about loving ourselves. giving God grace and honor and joy. But he is my Lord and he is my Savior. He's my friend. And I know that as my friend, he loves me. And I love him too. Hallelujah. So let's get started, family. We are starting in our 42nd Psalm. And that's only because I know we read it already. But I just feel it this morning and just want to share it again. So 42nd Psalm to the chief musician, a contemplation of the sons of Korah. As a deer pants for the waters, brook, so pants my soul for you, O God. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? My tears have been my food day and night, while they continually say to me, where is your God? When I remember these things, I pour out my soul within me, for I used to go with the multitude. I went with them to the house of God, with the voice of joy and praise, with the multitude that kept pilgrim feasts. Why are you cast down, O my soul, and why are you disquieted within me? Hope in God, for I shall yet praise him for the help of his countenance. Hallelujah. Are you praising God today? No time for moping. It's time to praise. Oh, my God. 42nd Psalm, verses 6 through 11. Oh, my God, my soul is cast down within me. Therefore, I will remember you from the land of the Jordan, from the heights of Hermon, from the hill Mizar, calls unto deep at the noise of your waterfalls. All your waves and billows have gone over me. The Lord will command his loving kindness in the daytime, and in the night his song shall be with me, a prayer to the God of my life. I will say to God, my rock, why have you forgotten me? Why do I go mourning because of the oppression of the enemy? As with the breaking of my bones, my enemies reproach me, while they say to me all day long, where is your God? Why are you cast down, O my soul, and why are you disquieted within me? Hope in God, for I shall yet praise him to help the help of my countenance and my God. Praise God this morning. Praise God this morning. Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Hallelujah. 43rd Psalm. Vindicate me, O God, and plead my cause against an ungodly nation. O deliver me from the deceitful and unjust man. But you are the God of my strength. Why do you cast me off? Why do I go mourning because of the oppression of the enemy? O send out your light and your truth. Let them lead me. Let them bring me to your holy hill and to your tabernacle. Then I will go to the altar of God, to God my exceeding joy. And on the harp I will praise you, O God, my God. Why are you cast down, O my soul, and why are you disquieted within me? Hope in God, for I shall yet praise him, the help of my countenance and my God. Hallelujah. I will praise him this morning. I will praise him to the highest heights and the deepest depths. 44th Psalm, verses 1 through 3. To the chief musician, the contemplation of the sons of Korah. We have heard with our ears, O God. Our father have told us the deeds you did in their days, in days of old. You drove out the nations with your hands, but them you planted. You afflicted the peoples and cast them out, but they did not gain possession of the land by their own swords, nor did their own arm save them. But it was your right hand, your arm, and the light of your countenance, because you favored them. Hallelujah. God favored me. That's all I can say is God favored me. And all I can say is thank you, Lord. Thank you for favoring me. Thank you for loving me. Thank you for giving me all that I need, God. The harvest is truly great, but the laborers are few. Lord, I will be a laborer in your harvest. Hallelujah. Proverbs chapter 13, verses 17 through 18. The wicked messenger falls into trouble, but a faithful ambassador brings help. Poverty and shame will come to him who disdains correction, but he who regards a rebuke will be honored. God will get you. God will tell you when you're messing up and it's time to clean up. Are you ready? Proverbs 13, 19 through 21. A desire accomplished is sweet to the soul, but it is an abomination to fools to depart from evil. He who walks with wise men will be wise, but the companion of fools will be destroyed. Evil pursues sinners, but to the righteous good shall be repaid. Hallelujah. God is wanting to repay all that you do. Are you working for God? Are you working for God this morning? Are you lifting up the name of Jesus? Verse 23 of the 13th Proverbs. A good man leaves an inheritance to his children's children, but the wealth of the sinner is stored up for the righteous. Much food is in the fallow ground of the poor, and for lack of justice there is waste. Hallelujah. Thanking God for a good man in my life. Good man. And we got to thank God for his grace. And the word that God gives us is this. He who spares his rod hates his son, but he who loves him disciplines him promptly. The righteous eats to the satisfying of his soul, but the stomach of the wicked shall be in want. The stomach of the wicked shall be in want. Is 1 through 2. The wise woman builds her house, but the fool is pulled down with her hands. He who walks in his uprightness fears the Lord, but he who is perverse in his ways despises him. And I want to go back to a psalm, to the 44th psalm. I want to go back there one more time. God just puts it back in my spirit and in my heart. We're going to start at verse 1 one more time. We have heard with our ears, O God, our fathers have told us the deeds you did in their days, in days of old. You drove out the nations with your hand, but them you planted. You afflicted the people and cast them out. But they did not gain possession of the land by their own sword, nor did their own army save them. But it was your right hand, your arm, and the light of your countenance, because you favor them. God favors us. Hallelujah. This word was touching my heart. And it says, you are my king, O God. Command victories for Jacob. Through you we are pushed down. Through you we will push down our enemies. Through your name we will trample those who rise up against us. For I will not trust in my bow, nor shall my sword save me. But you have saved us from our enemies. You have put to shame those who hated us. In God we boast all day long and praise your name forever, Selah. But you have cast us off and put us to shame. And you do not go out with our armies. You make us turn back from the enemy, and those who hate us have taken spoil for themselves. You have given us up like sheep intended for food, and have scattered us among the nations. You sell your people for next to nothing, and are not enriched by selling them. You make us a reproach to our neighbors, a scorn and a derision to those all around us. You make us a byword among the nations, a shaking of the head among the peoples. My dishonor is continually before me, and the shame of my face has covered me because of the voice of him who reproaches and reviles, because of the enemy and the avenger. All this has come upon us, but we have not forgotten you, nor have we dealt falsely with your covenant. Our heart has not turned back, nor have our steps departed from your way. But you have severely broken us in the place of Jacob and covered us with the shadow of death. Wow. The harvest is plenty, but the labors are few. We sometimes feel like God has forgotten us, but he has not. God is wanting us to give him the credit, not anybody else but him. Are you giving God credit for the things that he has done in your life? Are you telling God thank you for the grace that he has brought your way? Are you living up to what God has called you to do? Are you doing you? Well, you can get you in all kinds of trouble. Are you trusting in the Lord today? Are you trusting in yourself? I'm trusting in God. And I am contemplating and asking God, lead me, guide me, Lord, that along the way, Lord, lead me so that I will not stray. We don't want to stray from God. We need him to lead us, and to guide us, and to give us grace that can only come from him. Please join me in Luke chapter 9. Then he called his 12 disciples together and gave them power and authority over all demons and to cure diseases. He sent them to preach the kingdom of God and to heal the sick. And he said to them, take nothing for the journey, neither staff, nor bag, nor bread, nor money, and do not have two tunics apiece. In other words, don't even take a change of clothes. Wherever, whatever house you enter, stay there, and from there depart. And whoever will not receive you when you go out of that city, shake off the very dust from your feet as a testimony against them. So they departed and went through the towns, preaching the gospel and healing everyone. Now Herod the Tetrarch heard of all that was done by him, and he was perplexed because it was said by some that John had risen from the dead, and by some that Elijah had appeared, and by others that one of the old prophets had risen again. Herod said, John, I have beheaded, but who is this of whom I hear such things? So he sought to see him. And the apostles, when they had returned, told him all that they had done. Then he took them privately into a deserted place belonging to the city called Bethesda. But when the multitude knew it, they followed him. And he received them and spoke to them about the kingdom of God. Those who had need of healing when the day began to wear away, the 12 came and said to him, send the multitude away, that they may go into the surrounding towns and country and lodge and get provisions, for we are in a deserted place here. But he said to them, you give them something to eat. And they said, we have no more than 5 loaves and 2 fish, unless we go and buy food for all these people. But there were about 5,000 men, not including children and women. Then he said to his disciples, make them sit down in groups of 50. And they did so and made them all sit down. Then he took the 5 loaves and the 2 fish, and looking up to heaven, he blessed and broke them and gave them to the disciples for the multitude, so that they all ate and were filled, and 12 baskets of the leftover fragments were taken up by them. God can provide what you need when you least expect it. Praise God this morning. And it happened as he was alone praying that his disciples joined him. And he asked them, saying, who do the crowd say that I am? So they answered and said, John the Baptist. But some say Elijah. And others say that one of the old prophets has risen again. And he said to them, but who do you say that I am? Peter answered and said, the Christ of God. And he strictly warned and commanded them to tell this to no one, saying the Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected by the elders and chief priests and scribes and be killed and be raised the third day. Then he said to them all, if anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. For whoever desires to save his life will lose it. Whoever loses his life for my sake will save it. But what profit is it to a man if he gains the whole world and is himself destroyed or lost? Or as King James says, loses his soul. We don't want to lose our souls for the gains of the world. And he said, for whoever is ashamed of me and my words of him, the Son of Man will be ashamed when he comes in his own glory and in his Father's and of the holy angels. But I tell you truly, there are some standing here who shall not taste death till they see the kingdom of God. Now it came to pass about 8 days after these things that he took Peter, John, and James and went up on the mountain to pray. As he prayed, the appearance of his face was altered and his robe became white. And behold, two men talked with him, who were Moses and Elijah, who appeared in glory and spoke of his decease, which he was about to accomplish at Jerusalem. But Peter and those with him were heavy with sleep. And when they were fully awake, they saw his glory and the two men who stood with him. Then it happened as they were parting from him that Peter said to Jesus, Master, is it good for us to be here? And let us make three tabernacles, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah, not knowing what he said. While he was saying this, a cloud came and overshadowed them, and they were fearful as they entered the cloud. And a voice came out of the cloud saying, this is my beloved Son. Hear him. When the voice had ceased, Jesus was found alone. But they kept quiet and told no one of those days any of the things they had seen. Ooh, eyes have not seen, ears have not heard. Continue in Luke chapter 9, starting at verse 37. Now it happened on the next day, when they had come down from the mountain, that a great multitude met him. Suddenly a man from the multitude cried out, saying, Teacher, I implore you, look on my son, for he is my only child. And behold, a spirit seizes him, and he suddenly cries out, it convulses him, so that he foams at the mouth, and it departs from him with great difficulty, bruising him. So I implored your disciples to cast it out, but they could not. And Jesus answered and said, O faithless and perverse generation, how long shall I be with you and bear with you? Bring your son here. And as he was still coming, the demon threw him down and convulsed him. Then Jesus rebuked the unclean spirit, healed the child, and gave him back to his father. And they were all amazed at the majesty of God. But while everyone marveled at all things which Jesus did, he said to his disciples, let these words sink down into your ears, for the Son of Man is about to be betrayed into the hands of men. But they did not understand this thing, and it was hidden from them so that they did not perceive it. And they were afraid to ask him about this thing. Then a dispute arose among them as to which of them would be the greatest. And Jesus, perceiving the thoughts of their heart, took a little child and set him by him. And said to them, whoever receives this little child in my name. And I love that word because children's ministry is my passion. It's my heart. I got out of it for some years. And when God called me back into the ministry through my pastor, because sometimes we can walk away from what God wants us to do because we want to do something else. I was getting burnt out. I was over women's ministry, children, doing children's ministry, and I was burning out. And God called someone else to do women's ministry. I still have my women's ministry, but God has put it on hiatus for a while until God shows me what to do and how to do it. Stay on hiatus for a while. Because I'm a part of my church's women's ministry as well. And I will support it 100%. Because I was supported 100% when I was over the women's ministry. But I say this. When you're called to do something, God will open many doors. And all I can say is a shout out to the 30-plus children that went for Sunday at Table of Life. When I looked at back at the pictures, all I could say was, wow, God, look at you. We had so many children that the church had more children than their parents. One almost whole side of the church was children. Almost a whole side of the church for children. Don't tell me what God cannot do. He is amazing. And I will trust in him. And it tells us this in the word. It says, he said, he took a little child and set him by him and said to them, whoever receives this little child in my name receives me. And whoever receives me receives him who sent me. But he who is least among you all will be great. Now John answered and said, Master, we saw someone casting out demons in your name, and we forbid them because he does not follow with us. But Jesus said to him, do not forbid him. For he was not against us, is on our side. Hallelujah. Now it came to pass, when the time had come for him to be received up, that he steadfastly set his face to go to Jerusalem and sent messengers before his face. And as they went, they entered the village of the Samaritans, to prepare for him. But they did not receive him, because his face was set for the journey to Jerusalem. And when James and John saw this, they said, Lord, do you want us to command fire to come down from heaven and consume them just as Elijah did? But he turned and rebuked them and said, you do not know what manner of spirit you are of. For the Son of Man did not come to destroy men's lives, but to save them. And they went to another village. Now it happened as they journeyed on the road that someone said to him, Lord, I will follow you wherever you go. And Jesus said to him, foxes have holes and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head. Then he said to another, follow me. And he said, Lord, let me first go and bury my father. Jesus said to him, let the dead bury the dead, bury their own dead, but you go and preach the kingdom of God. And another also said, Lord, I will follow you, but let me first go and bid them farewell who are at my house. But Jesus said to him, no one, having put his hand to the plow and looking back, is fit for the kingdom. Wow, he's saying, you got to let some stuff go. You got to let some stuff go. You got to let some people go. And sometimes, you got to go by yourself, taking nothing. Go with your partner, taking nothing. Two by two, he sent them out. Nothing to protect themselves. no extra clothes, no extra sandals, no food. Go. Commission. We all are commissioned to do the will of God. This is my assignment, to get up and to read the word of God. That's my job. That's the assignment that God gave me. And I'm going to do it if I have to do it by myself. What God told me to do, I have to do. It doesn't matter how I feel. Doesn't matter if it's hot. Doesn't matter if it's cold. Whatever God tells you to do, you've got to do it. Sick or well, mourning or joy, sorrow or dancing, you got to do your assignment. The harvest is plenty, but the labors are few. God is calling us to the harvest. God is calling us to go to work. Are you working for God? Are you putting the work off on somebody else? Are you saving souls? Are the souls being saved? Or are you just saying, it's all good. Let Valerie do it. Let evangelists do it. Let everybody do it but you. When you are the one that's being called to speak, you're being called to evangelize, you're being called to go to work. But instead, you want to see it and talk about it, but not be about it. God is saying, it's time to go to work. The harvest is plenty and the labors are few. We got work to do. Luke chapter 10. And it says, after these things, the Lord appointed 70 others also and sent them two by two before his face into every city and place where he himself was about to go. Then he said to them, the harvest truly is great. The laborers are few. Therefore, pray to the Lord of the harvest to send our laborers into his harvest. Go your way. Behold, I send you as lambs among wolves. Carry neither money bag, knapsack, nor sandals, and greet no one along the road. But whatever house you enter, first say peace to this house. And if a son of peace is there, your peace will rest on it. If not, it will return to you and remain in the same house, eating and drinking such things as they give, for the laborer is worthy of his wages. Do not go from house to house, wherever city you enter, and they receive you, eat such things as are set before you. In other words, I'm sorry, appreciate your kindness, but I don't eat that. No, I'm a vegetarian. No, I don't eat that kind of meat. I don't eat this. I don't eat that. No, I don't do that. I'm on this kind of diet, so I need a special meal. No, I could no. Jesus said, at that moment in time, all your dietary restrictions and everything. What did he say? Did he say, whatever you're given, it says, whatever city you enter and they receive you, eat such things as set before you. He didn't talk about they eating pork, then you better eat that pork chop like you've been eating it forever. And don't open your mouth to say, oh, no, I can't have that. And he tells you, the kingdom of God has come near to you, but whatever city you enter, and they do not receive you, go out into the street and say, the very dust of your city, which clings to us, we wipe off against you. Nevertheless, know this, that the kingdom of God has come near you. But I say to you that it will be more tolerable in the day for Sodom than for this city. What are you, Chorazin? What are you, Bethesda? For if the mighty works which were done in you had been done in Tyre and Sidon, they would have repented long ago, setting in sackcloth and ashes. And it will be more tolerable for Tyre and Sidon at the judgment than for you. And you, Capernaum, who are exalted to heaven, will be brought down to heaven. He will hear you, hears me. He will reject you, rejects me. He will reject me, rejects him who sent me. Then the 70 returned with joy, saying, Lord, even the demons in your name. And he said to them, I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. Behold, I give you the authority to trample on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall be by any means hurt you. Nevertheless, do not rejoice in this that the spirits are subject to you, but rather rejoice because your names are written in heaven. Woo! Hmm. So don't rejoice because you was able to conquer the demons and the devil. What did he say? Rejoice because your name is written in heaven. That's what we want, our name written in heaven. We want to go to work for the Lord so that our names are written in heaven. I want my name in the book. Hallelujah. And it says, and in that hour, Jesus rejoiced in this and said, I thank you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that you have hidden these things from the wise and prudent and revealed them to babes. Even so, Father, for so it seemed good in your sight. All things have been delivered to me by my Father, and no one knows who the Son is except the Father, and who the Father is except the Son, and the one to whom the Son wills to reveal him. Oh, hallelujah. I thank Jesus that he revealed the Father to us through this mighty word of God. All I can say is thank you, Lord, for another day. Thank you, Lord, for all your grace. Thank you, Lord, for giving me peace in the midst. God knows what we're going through. God knows every. All we have to do is lay the situation at the altar. God knows what you need and when you need it. Then he turned to his disciples and said privately, blessed are the eyes which see the things you see. For I tell you that many prophets and kings have desired to see what you see and have not seen it, and to hear what you hear and have not heard it. Hallelujah. Woo, Jesus, I'm filled up, y'all. Continue in chapter 10, verse 25. And behold, a certain lawyer stood up and tested him, saying, Teacher, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? He said to him, what is written in the law? What is your reading of it? So he answered and said, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength and with all your mind, and your neighbor as yourself. And he said to him, do rightly, do this and you will live. Come on now. Love God. Love your neighbor. Follow them top 10, and it will be well with your soul. First half, loving God. Second half, loving your neighbor. Again, it's time to go to work. And he said to him, you have answered rightly to this, and you will live. But he wanted to justify himself, said to Jesus, and who is my neighbor? You know, there's always somebody that got to get smart. Always somebody who's got to try to question authority. Always someone that's going to say, well, I don't know why I got to do that. I'd rather do it my way. But it's always we got to do it the way the pastor's woman does. Do you not understand that whatever the pastor asks you to do, she has been with before the throne. She has been with God. She has asked God to lead and guide. Whatever members are over programmed, believe me when I say they are fasted. They have prayed. They have gone before the king. They have been in prayer all sometimes all night asking God, Lord, what shall I do? And I'm speaking this because I've been there, speaking to God. Lord, what shall I do? Lord, you know what I'm going through. Lord, you know this. Lord, you know that. How do you want me to handle this situation? How do you want me to lead this program? And God shows you everything you need to do. And all I can say is kudos again to Sister Carolyn for a great sunrise service. She did what God called her to do, and she did it very well. And it says, and then Jesus answered and said, a certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell among thieves who stripped him of his clothing. This is a good Samaritan story. Wounded him and departed, leaving him half dead. Nabal came down the road, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. Likewise, a Levite, when he arrived at the place, came and looked and passed by on the other side. But a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he saw, where he was, and when he saw him, he had compassion. So he went to him and bandaged his wound, pouring oil and wine, and set him on his own animal, brought him to an inn, took care of him. On the next day, when he departed, he took out 2 denarii, gave them to the innkeeper, and said to him, take care of him, and whatever more you spend, when I come again, I will repay you. So which of these 3 do you think was neighbor to him who fell among the thieves? And he said, he who showed mercy on him. Then Jesus said to him, go and do likewise. Do you show mercy? Folks that are outside, do you have a blanket in your car? And do you give it to them? You have food in your bag. Do you give it to them? You have some things hiding kids. Do you give it to them? What do you do for others? Are you sitting on your laurels and driving past, turning your head so to make sure they don't see you? Make sure they don't know you. You just ignore the helpless. God is wanting us to change our ways, to help that are needing help. But you pray first, because sometimes what appears to be one thing may be something else. And so you have to pray before you stop your car, before you give that money, before you give that blanket, before you give that food. God will show you who are his and who are not. God will show you who to give to and who not to give to. God will show you what work needs doing. Hallelujah. And as we go forward, and he says this, and Jesus said, go and do likewise. Now it happened as they went that he entered a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha welcomed him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, who also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his words. But Martha was distracted with much serving, and she approached him and said, Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Therefore, tell her to help me. But Mary was getting it in. She was absorbing everything that the Savior had for her. She was absorbing it. She was sitting at his feet, listening to every word from his mouth. And she had tuned out everything but the Savior. And Martha was busy, but she didn't have time to listen. She was like, let me get these people fed. Let me get this meatloaf in the oven. Let me get these potatoes on. Oh, I got a pot of greens going. Oh, let me make sure everybody has some wine to drink, and they got water, and they got everything they need. Let me make sure, oh, Lord, I see a speck of dust that I missed. Oh, goodness, let me get over there and wipe that real quick before anybody notice. Oh, my Lord. Oh, did I forget to get the deviled eggs made? Oh, no, they in the refrigerator. You know, do I have sodas? Do I have freezer pops for the kids? Do I have this? Is the grill going? You know, Martha thinks about everything. She's like, this is the barbecue and it's at our house, and I got to make sure everything is right. Got to make sure that the potato salad is good. But that was not what Jesus was wanting. Jesus was wanting her to absorb him like Mary. And Jesus told Martha, he said, Jesus answered and said to her, Martha, Martha, you are worried and troubled about many things, but one thing is needed, and Mary has chosen that good part, which will not be taken away from her. We got to choose the good part, and the good part is Jesus. The good part is working in the kingdom. The good part is knowing who you belong to. And I love this life lesson from Luke chapter 10, 38 through 42. Mary of Bethany, a life devoted to God. Each time we look at the life of Mary of Bethany through the window afforded us in the Gospels, we find her at the feet of Jesus, John 11, 32, 12 and 3. And Mary, Jesus discerned the heart of devotion and love for the things of God. Mary accepted Jesus' words when he spoke of his death and resurrection, and she applied them to her life by humbling herself before God and desiring only to serve the Lord. Her attitude marked her as a woman mighty in spirit, and you too can have this trait when you commit yourself to Christ. Ask him to make you aware of anything that keeps you from sitting at his feet in heart devotion. Pray for the Holy Spirit to give you a deep love for God's word. This is what Mary just cherished, the word of God spoken to her, and it is your greatest source of comfort and hope. Luke chapter 42, life lesson, Luke chapter 10, verse 42. Life lesson, Mary had chosen that good part which will not be taken away from her. God created us to enjoy a deep and intimate relationship with himself. And while works of service are important, they must never eclipse the fellowship he wants to experience with each of us. We know that the harvest is plenty and the labors are few, but God wants laborers to know who he is. You can't call on the name of Jesus when you don't know it. You can't ask God to guide you when he doesn't know your name. We got to get to work in getting to know Jesus, to sit at his feet, to absorb all his word. Then we can go to work. But first, you got to take time with the Lord. Every day, before I go to work, I have to take time with the Lord. I couldn't make it. I couldn't do 12 hours. I couldn't do 9 hours. Couldn't do 10 hours without the Lord by my side. I thank God. And I pray as we get ready to wrap up this morning, if there's anyone that has a word, now's the time to push the one on your phone at 213-943-3597. If you'd like to call in, again, 213-943-3597. This is Blog Talk Radio, and this is Moving Forward with Minister Bridget. And again, I ask you to please keep Mother Valerie prayers as she gets over a spring cold. We ask God to bless her. We ask God to lead her. We ask God to guide her. We ask God to heal her. So please continue praying, because I know your prayers are being answered. Thanking God again for this mighty woman of God who has taken time out of her busy life to come and read with us. So we ask God for complete and total healing, that she will be better than she's ever been. I thank God for this woman who I call my mother. Self-discipline. We have all of these great witnesses who encircle us like clouds. So we must let go of every wound that has pierced us and the sin we so easily fall into. Then we will be able to run life's marathon, race with passion and determination. For the path has been already marked out before Hebrews 12 and 1, TPT. Mighty God, I invite your perfect presence to meet me where I am today. I don't pretend to be in a place that I'm not. I'm not going to try to convince myself that I've got it all together. If only that were true. But no, you don't require perfection. You don't even require that I be in a good place. Thank you that you accept me just as I am, faults, failings, and all. And Lord God, you know I like to say, am I good, am I bad, am I ugly? I thank you, God. Lord, I will not forget that others have gone before me and still others are on their way, their own journeys of faith with you. None of these paths are without obstacles or pain. I will not fool myself into thinking that I am alone in my struggles. Instead, I ask for the grace to let go of things I cannot control. Leave behind the sin that tries to sidetrack me and trust that you will heal me as I walk the path of forgiveness. I am so grateful for your presence and for the power found in you. Ooh, hallelujah. I just say thank you. And a question for today is, what do you need to let go of today? Whatever it is, let it go. It's time to go to work for God. It's time to sit at the feet of Jesus. It's time to know who you belong to. And you belong to the Most High, who loves you in spite of you, who loves you because you are his son and you are his daughter. And I just have some words for you, Sister Carolyn. Our Sunday word was, he is risen. Jesus gave us life so that we may have a right to the tree of life. Because he lives, we can face another day. And Jesus said, happy resurrection day. And for yesterday, some doors that God doesn't open for you is nothing more than divine protection. Bam. Woo, we got to know that some doors that God doesn't open for you is nothing more than divine protection. And other times, just isn't right yet. God will give you what you need when you need it. Have a marvelous Monday. Praise the Lord. And our word for today as we get ready to wrap up is, peace is not the absent problem, but peace is the presence of God. Have a tranquil Tuesday. So I say to you this morning, have a tranquil Tuesday, knowing that who you are is who God made you to be. And he loves you more than words can express, more than I can express, more than anyone can express. God loves you, and so do I. May the Lord watch between me and thee while we're absent one from each other. In Jesus' name, I pray over you and yours. Please also keep Mother Rita in your prayers this morning. She is not on today, and she is normally always on. So I ask you to lift her up as well. In the name of mighty Jesus, Lord God, we ask your healing power over Mother Rita and over Mother Valerie, God. We ask you to give them strength, to give them all that they need, Lord, because they are your daughters. They are your faithful daughters, and they love you more than anything. In Jesus' name, Lord, as we depart from each other, we ask you to cover us, each and every one. Cover our families and our loved ones. In Jesus' name we pray, believing and trusting in your word, that you will never leave us or forsake us, that you will always be with us, Lord God. We stand on your word this morning. And thank you for another day. Thank you for your great word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thanking God for all of you. And believe it or not, family, it is a wrap as the Lord watches between me and thee while we're absent one from each other. Have a blessed day, family. It's a wrap.